Well, all of those readings today, you'll be happy to know, including the responsive reading in your bulletin, were all from the lectionary, every one of them. And the theme that's kind of woven through them, common theme, and then think of that, that theme is spanning 1,000 years of writing, right? Is that God wants something for each of his children. Now, he wants something for all of us collectively, for all of his people collectively, yes. But almost more importantly, for each of us individually, as his child. God wants us to find something, to discover something. God wants us to find the way to true joy. God wants us to have a good life in the here and now, an abundant, joyful life. Will every moment be happy? No, no. Will every circumstance be good? No, nope. And yet there is a promise of a way to joy. There's a promise of it. In our first reading today, the prophet Jeremiah, not known for being overly, you know, upbeat, the weeping prophet, but Jeremiah conveys a message from God to the Jewish people, the people who have been taken away from Jerusalem by the Babylonians. God says, settle down, plant gardens, build houses, get married, take care of your families. Now, he's talking to the people who have been taken hundreds of miles away from their homeland to a foreign place. They're in exile. And God's warning them, don't wallow in it. Don't wallow in your misery, right? Don't do it. Don't focus on the negatives. I want you to prosper. That's what he says there. I want you to prosper. I want you to find joy, even in your current state of unhappiness. Why? Well, God goes on to tell them right there in verse 11, a little further down. It's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. You'll remember it. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, a good future. Sound familiar? Sure. I mean, the outlook, God is saying, the outlook is good. Even if you can't see it right now. Yeah, God wants us to prosper, to find joy. He doesn't want us to wallow, to dwell on the negativity and the negativity. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a bad day, right? Doesn't mean you shouldn't mourn loss. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try to make things better. I think we know what it means. Negativity can become a bad habit. And it can be a reflection of our human pride. Of course, right? Look for it. Look out for it. Be careful about it. Self-righteousness and hypocrisy, those two things that drove Jesus wild, right? Crazy, almost. The two things Jesus absolutely couldn't stand. Self-righteousness and hypocrisy. They are always, always negative. They're about negativity. And they become habits. And they're habits that stand in the way of finding true joy. In our second reading today, we hear from the very last words of our own St. Paul. This second letter to his dear friend Timothy was written while Paul was a prisoner in Rome. And this is the last writing we have from him before he was executed under Emperor Nero. Now, this was the second time he was arrested and imprisoned in Rome. The first time, he was under house arrest, which, you know, it wasn't too bad. His circumstances weren't horrible. But this time, there was severe persecution going on in Rome under Nero, and he was almost certainly awaiting execution in a prison, in a cell, or even in a dungeon. He acknowledges in our reading today that he is, quote, suffering and chained like a criminal. But is he dwelling on his suffering? He is not. He is not. He is focused on enduring. That's the key word there, and it's used more than once in that reading. Paul is enduring. Why? Why is he enduring? Is Paul enduring for himself? No. Look at verse 10. Listen to verse 10. He says, I endure everything for the sake of others, that they too may obtain salvation through Christ Jesus. Now think about that. Paul did what he did. You know, he preached what he preached right there in Rome, taught what he taught, wrote what he wrote. Not for himself. He did it for you. And he did it for me. Without thought of personal gain. In fact, what did it get him? What did it get him? Got him killed. He was suffering, chained, and executed. And yet, indisputably, Paul was joyful. Okay. I want to read something to you and then frame a question for us for discussion. Now, this is something called the way to happiness. It should be called the way to joy. I don't want to quibble with them, but it should be called the way to joy. But it's entitled the way to happiness. It used to be on our bulletin board. I don't think it is anymore. Maybe we'll put it back on. It's something that's worth reading. Now listen to this, the way to happiness, the way to joy. This is how it goes. I'm going to read it to you. Keep your heart free from hate, your mind free from worry. Live simply. Expect little. Give much. Fill your life with love. Scatter sunshine. Forget self. Don't be selfish. Think of others. Do as you would be done by. Golden rule. Trust God. Thank God for all your blessings. Be grateful. And then, what we just talked about, do all you can for people without thought of personal gain. Pretty good list, right? Easy to do? Of course not. But it's a good list. The keys, the way to joy. Do we agree with that? Agree with that list? Yeah, it's hard to argue, right? The way to joy is to thank God, to be grateful, and to do for others without thought of personal gain. I mean, so says that, whoever put that together, and so says our favorite book, right? Okay, is that last part I want to focus on for a couple minutes and connect back to our gospel reading today that we heard from Linda. The part about doing for others without thought of personal gain. In the gospel reading, you'll recall, Jesus cured 10 guys who had leprosy. It's something you don't want to have, right? Yeah, 10 guys that had leprosy. Now, let me ask you this. Did Jesus expect or require anything in return? Did he ask for a payment? Did he expect them to send him a thank you note? Good habit to get in, right? Did Jesus expect or require anything in return? Not really, right? Not really. Okay, so here then is a follow-up question. Why then did Jesus care that 9 out of the 10 men who had been cured did not come back to thank him? Why did he care? Pretty good question, don't you think? It must be important, because if you remember, Bible makes sort of a big deal out of this story right there. And they make a big deal out of how one guy out of the 10 came back to Jesus to thank him profusely for being healed. And I can tell you, when you look up the commentary about this story, all of the commentary focuses on that one guy. On that one guy. And it was, clearly was important to Jesus. He obviously appreciated it. But why? Again, why? We've already established that he didn't require it or even expect it. And I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't need the praise, you know, for his own personal self-esteem. No, I don't think he needed it. Okay, and then what about the other 9? I think that's sort of almost the hidden part of the lesson here that, I mean, nobody else seems to really focus on when you drill down into it. Jesus actually said in verse 17, where are the other 9? He seemed to care about it. Where are the other 9? But again, you have to wonder, why in the world would he care? Why would he care? And the obvious answer is, because he just can't help himself. It's his nature. God cares about us, all of us, including those other 9. And I think that's the main point of the lesson to me. And what bothered Jesus about the other 9 was not that they deprived him of praise that he clearly deserved. That didn't bother him. He didn't need it. No. What bothered Jesus was that they themselves, the other 9, were not grateful. And ultimately, who's that going to hurt? It's not going to hurt Jesus. It would hurt them. Ultimately, not being grateful is going to hurt them and those around them. That's what bothered Jesus. He was bothered for them. Jesus definitely knew what we know. Gratitude is absolutely a key to real joy. Does God want that for us? Joy? True joy? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very, very clear. And so in closing, and in summary, again, what is the key to joy? Do all you can for others without thought of personal gain. And thank God for all your blessings. Let's be grateful. As King David said in the very first verse of our responsive reading today, shout for joy. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. And then what will happen? As Jesus promised in his farewell discourse, my joy will be with you and your joy will be complete. Amen.